Welcome to What's Poppin', a podcast where we get to know the people of Prince of Peace a little bit better and dig deeper into the message from the previous Sunday. This week, my guest is David Coach Bravo. Coach, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for asking.
So I call you Coach. Everyone calls you Coach.
Yes, they do.
And you're okay with that, right?
Absolutely. I've been called Coach the last 30 years. And so if there's multiple of us in a room and they call Coach, we will all turn around.
I did the same thing with Pastor.
There you go. Yeah. So Pastor, you have multiple pastors in a room. It's like they'll all turn.
They'll all turn around really easily, yeah. All right, Coach. So the first question I always start with here is, how long have you lived in the area?
Lived in Fremont my entire life. I watched this place evolve from being fields of trees to American High School being built down the street to, if you did not know, there was a drive-in theater at the end of Fremont Boulevard.
Really?
One type, a single screen drive-in theater just before the freeway, right where Lucky Shopping Center is now.
Oh.
And it used to be a drive-in theater, and we used to go across street at the elementary school and watch it with no sound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are the good old days, right?
Yes.
When and how did you get to Prince of Peace?
That's an interesting question. I've always saw Prince of Peace here, drive by Washington High School down Fremont Boulevard, and just always thought, I wonder what's behind those white walls. Prince of Peace, what's that about? My nephew ended up coming here for his junior high 2015. And so I was able to attend basketball games where I ended up meeting Coach Melcher and some of the staff here. But it wasn't until 2019, I was attending another church and I was coming here and found myself attending the men's retreat in 2019. And I really thought it was on the life of David and turned out to be on the Psalms of David, which was extremely interesting and got me really intrigued in Psalms. But it was a great retreat and I knew no one, but I just went on a whim and it was a great experience. I returned to church to see a flyer up on the bulletin board, trip to Israel. Pastor Zell. Okay. I looked at the itinerary and I said, there is no way they're going to all these. There is no way. not in 12 days or 14 days. So I intrigued, went to the pre-study classes that were required to go. And I said, well, let's just determine that. And 15 minutes in, I was sold.
You were sold.
And I ended up going to Israel and it was a phenomenal experience. And I found myself continuing to attend Prince of Peace. I became part of the culture here and the school. That following year, I went to LACT up in Portland, the last one they had there in 2020.
Yeah.
And I assisted with the basketball program. It was a phenomenal experience. I'd never experienced anything like that, the variety of activities and events. And it was just amazing. I was just so enthralled. I went to everything I could possibly see, from the music recitals to the chess to the acting. It was a phenomenal experience. I remember being asked if I'd like to join the teaching staff here in the airport on a return back there for the following year. Wow, that was kind of really okay. And kind of ties in with the message for this week, because I found myself waiting and I can honestly say I trusted God. I'll just wait.
Yeah.
I didn't inquire. I didn't follow up. I waited.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen. All right, God. 2 weeks into the school year.
Yeah.
Into the school year. School had already started. I get the call. And they needed someone to do distance learning at that time.
Right.
Everybody was in a COVID mode.
Yeah.
And I found myself teaching the entire school, the physical education program, online, which was in itself a challenge. To teach online. But I came up with a curriculum that was functional for everybody. I found myself performing in front of a screen in the gym by myself. And that was an experience
that must
too.
Have been new, yeah.
And it was awesome. The problem is I really couldn't, my behavior management really lacked, because there were kids sometimes they'd lose them off the screen or they run away.
I didn't
know where they
went. What are you gonna do? Right.
But it was a great experience. I was able to become part of the staff.
Yeah.
Part-time that year. And that was my connection. I continued to assist with the basketball program here with Coach Melcher, and continue to substitute teach and assist in any way I can with the school here.
That's fantastic. We love having you around. Thank you. Everyone knows Coach. All right, Coach. What was your first car?
A two-year-old 1977 Toyota Celica with an 8-track player.
Of course. If it was from 1977, yeah.
Yes, yes. 1977 Toyota Celica used. And I love that car. It was that rust, like not orange, but that rusted color. It was
like a burnt orange color.
Like a burnt orange, yeah. Dark, but not a bright orange. And I just love that car. It had a hatchback.
It's two seat, like a two door, right?
It was a two door, but it was a four seater.
Four seater, yeah.
Yeah, two doors. And so, and I was like, you never wanted to take anybody with you because they had to get in through behind the seat. And they didn't make the car big enough for four people, but you could squeeze four people in. The hatchback was great. I could put all my toys back there, footballs back, whatever I was doing. So it was always awesome. Plus it went down, so it became like a station wagon in one sense. But
did it really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, put the back seat
down and you'd have like an extended...
Throw your cross-country skis back there.
Yeah, I had everything I needed back there. I had my cooler and I'm ready to go.
It's nice.
You know, yeah, it was good. Going to Raider games was awesome, you know, tailgating. So
how long did you drive that thing?
Until 90 probably.
13 years?
About 13 years. No, 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 no.
Oh, you only
no,
had...
I got it used.
You got it in 79.
So I got it in 79, 80. So about 10 years.
About 10 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Did it die or did you just move on to something else?
I was headed to a basketball game and it got tagged on the freeway. Okay. It got spun around and...
Oh, goodness.
It just, from that point, it struggled. You know, alignment and stuff like that. It was just
it was time
time to say bye-bye. Yeah. You know, I just had to move on. So
it's too bad.
Yeah.
Good times all gone.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I always ask everyone to bring two things from the previous message.
This week's message was an opening series, Pastor Starting Moses Trusting God's Lead. And in a lot of ways, very interesting. I found myself looking at two topics that sparked my interest, and they kind of interweave. So the first one was kind of the connection between Exodus and Acts. Why did he use these scriptures?
Oh, yeah.
And I was intrigued, and I had to do a little more research afterwards because he only used portions of Acts. And the second part, which I'll interweave, is the seasons of life journey.
Mm.
So the connection between Exodus and Acts, I didn't make the connection initially, but once I could further reading, it was Stephen who was talking to the Pharisees about, well, basically he gave a summation of the Hebrew history, or basically cliff notes.
Yeah.
Probably better than anybody I've ever seen. I go, it was very concise, very to the point, obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit, and just had the Jewish leaders
in
arms.
Yeah.
He didn't know what he called it just like it was. Yep. And I was going, how does this connect? I didn't understand the connection of the scripture, because the scripture pastor used was the one regarding Moses.
Right.
You continue to read. It wasn't just Moses. It was from the beginning of the Israel nation.
Yeah.
All the way through to current time, and where they basically, he ends by calling them heathen at heart, deaf to the truth. They were infuriated and they shook their fists in the air, having them stoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh, there's the connection. So like Pharaoh, who Moses probably had up in arms after all the plagues, probably put his fist in the air and said, go away, leave us, get out of this land.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I kind of see this connection. I go, Paul, there it is.
He's right there.
Paul's the one right there that witnesses the death of Stephen.
Yeah.
I went, oh, wow. So Stephen is kind of the connection in this sermon.
Yeah,
connects Moses to Paul. So as I continue to reflect on this, Exodus being Moses, Acts being Paul, the connection was their similarities. They were both foreign citizens. I mean, Moses was an Egyptian, Paul was a Roman citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So they were both Hebrew, but they were both from different. In different cultures, I guess.
Right.
They were both educated, Moses being a military genius, a psalmist, and Paul being a great writer and a well-educated man by
Gamaliel.
Gamaliel.
Yeah.
Yes. So I was going, and then what about God? Well, first of all, the tribe that leads to Jesus, a Levite, Moses, and a Benjamin? Yeah, from the tribe of Benjamin was Paul, I believe.
I believe so.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So I'm looking, okay, so there's that connection. But then God called him out and he used a light, burning bush for Moses, and a bright light for Paul. So I'm looking at these connections. I'm going, God doesn't do things by mistakes. There's definitely a connection here. And then he calls him out. God calls out the law with Moses and calls out the gospel of grace with Paul. In other words, this combination just had me going, wow, there's so much, the dots are connecting just left and right. Huh. So as I continue to look at this, I went, all right, now let's look at Pastor kept emphasizing, at 40 years old, he went out into the wilderness.
Right.
And wait a minute, all right. And then 40 years later, he comes back. So I'm looking at the seasons of our lives, or when God puts us in a position that often it's a lengthy process, and we need to make sure that we're not discouraged by the obstacles, which happened with both Moses and Paul.
Right.
So here they are. They learn their skills. They learn their tools, which would be phase one, the training, preparing us. So for 40 years, Moses does his thing. Mm-hmm. Paul does his thing and is learned, becoming aptitude in the scriptures and just a brilliant man. And then they both start, they don't start their mission until they're both exiled.
Mm.
Moses is exiled for 40 years. Now, see, we think of years as a long time, but in God's mind, his time is different. Paul for about 3 years, I understand.
Yeah.
But they were both exiled. And it wasn't until they returned from that exile that they went on the mission that God, or I call it the to-do. So this was the part where they had to do, and they couldn't do that until they took all their training that prepared them and had to be able to take their experience to develop their tools and skills through meditation, through being exiled, through being separated from any distraction, so to speak.
Hmm.
And I think that's what happens a lot with us. We find ourselves frustrated with what God may want us to do because it's not fast enough.
Not fast enough.
It's not our time.
It's never fast
enough. And I'm looking
enough.
At 3 years and 40 years, and God's eyes are probably a blink of an eye. And so I found myself really intrigued with this because it was just very, it touched me in so many ways because I went, this is exactly what we do. This is what I do. I should say how I find myself, Lord, you know, all right, I'm going to do this. And he's prepared me with all these things. And I found myself, I'm very much like that. I've done all this year of learning all these different things to be thrown into this environment of teaching kindergarten through eighth grade.
All at
which
once.
Which I hadn't done.
Online.
And I had to pull things out of 20 years ago. Just, oh yeah, I'll do this and try this. And he's prepared us each with tools and skills that we don't even know sometimes that we still have.
Oh yeah.
And that we can utilize. And one of the ones that's probably the worst for me is patience.
Mm.
That, like both these men, they wanted it done quickly. Now let's move on. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
And I could see the connection, Moses with the Old Testament and Paul in the New. So I'm looking forward where this series goes
yeah.
because now that I see the connection,
yeah.
Through the passage of Stephen, basically giving you a synopsis of the entire Old Testament,
right?
How God leads us. So trusting God's lead is so difficult.
It's so difficult. And we don't want to pass over too quickly on the idea that 3 years or 40 years seems like a long time, because it is a long time. I mean, 3 days is a long time when you think you know where you're headed or what you're supposed to do, or if you're waiting for an answer. I mean, 40 years is a lifetime. And it takes that long for God's plan to work out for when it's time for Moses to go back to Egypt and to do just amazing things at that point. That's really cool. Was there anything else that you thought was interesting?
No, I found myself looking forward to the whole idea of the seasons of life and basically how someone young doesn't understand what I'm talking about until they get to that point. They can look back and go, oh, look what I learned over here that I'm now utilizing here. You don't understand what you've learned or picked up at 20, how you might use it at 50.
Right. Yeah.
You don't until you go, no, I've done that before. Yet here's two men who literally had to utilize those things in order to deal with the people they were dealing with and the different cultures and the nuances.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a good series, I think, and it's going to be very applicable to everybody. you know, that we all sort of have these backstories.
Yes.
You know, we all have a backstory of some sort, and recounting those backstories and looking for how the ways that God has worked through those backstories that bring us to where we are now.
Yeah.
I mean, even it is hard for a younger person to understand that sort of stuff, but even a person who's 20 years old can kind of look back to when they were 9, 10, 11 years old and be like, okay, those choices I made there or what happened to me there has turn me into the person I am now, you know? And so it's not quite as powerful maybe as someone who's 50 years old looking back and going, oh, wow, what I did when I was 25,
right,
and that happened has really formed me. But we all sort of have a backstory that we can look back on and see that has formed us as to where we are now and how God has a purpose for us where we are now.
You know, you just made me realize something. He also provided for Moses and for Paul someone there that they could trust. You had Aaron.
Yep.
And you had Silas.
Yeah.
I mean, they were their right hand as far as someone they could actually turn to. Man, I'm really struggling right now.
Yeah.
And realize that God wants you to have fellowship with him, but he also understands the importance of having fellowship
with
each other.
Yep.
And having someone close as a brother,
yep,
whether they were or not,
yep,
Aaron and Silas. And I thought, that is really profound too, because
he brings you into family.
Yeah. You have to have that relationship. And it's like, so there are so many different aspects. I mean, lesson after lesson, I just learned three right now. Listen, talking with you, I'm going, oh, okay. There's another one I'm thinking of, but I don't want to prolong this any further because who knows? Everybody's probably going, these people keep talking.
We keep talking forever. All right. Switching gears then. Back to you being coach, right?
All right.
If you had to pick one sport to play or coach, what would it be and why?
Great question. And people that know me would know this answer, but a lot of people don't know that. Ultimate Frisbee. Now, it's just called Ultimate. Frisbee is a trademark, but yes, Ultimate Frisbee.
Ultimate Disc.
But it's Ultimate Frisbee. I've coached it, I've played it, and it's probably the best game I've ever been a part of. It just, because it incorporates soccer, football, and basketball. All three elements, all sports that I enjoy. The football element, obviously trying to score goals like touchdowns in the end zone. The basketball element, the way you defend somebody and the way you pivot when you pick up the Frisbee. And then the soccer element is obviously a lot like basketball, trying to keep a triangle and throwing to different people backwards and forwards. And it's just a 7-on-7, full field, just let's get after it. And there's nothing better than going horizontal and catching a disc before it hits the ground.
I just watched a video on this yesterday about Ultimate Frisbee, Ultimate Disc, Ultimate. It's going horizontal and catching a disc is pretty, it's pretty fun looking stuff, and it's fun to do. I mean, I've done it myself, and it's funny to think about this becoming like a real sport. And I say it sort of tongue in cheek, real sport, because obviously it is, but its origins, origins are pretty hippie-ish, lazy college students.
Yeah, it has that connection.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, game starts, it's extremely intense. And there's techniques of throwing the Frisbee. Something I teach the kids here when I have classes, every PE class I teach, I have an Ultimate Frisbee unit.
Yeah.
At least they learn how to throw the Frisbee the different ways, whether it's teaching here at POP or when I was working at community college or at the high school. It's one of my units because I'm good at teaching kids how to throw the Frisbee. They didn't know they knew how to throw. One of the most frustrating things with Frisbee, as you well know, let's go throw the Frisbee. After three times, you don't want to play anymore because the Frisbee doesn't go to the person. Like, it goes everywhere else.
Let's play, you go get it.
Yeah, I don't want to do this no more.
You go get
it. It's like, the dog will get it, but I don't want to do this no more. So teaching them how to play catch. And so it's a unit that I taught last year at Prince of Peace and brought out my Frisbees and showed them how to do forehand, backhand. And it's just a blast. They didn't know you could throw it this way. So it's always something new to learn, but I love this game. It's so much fun, and nobody understands how much. The other aspect of it is that if it's just two of us, well, then we can go play some Frisbee golf.
I was going to say, do you do frolf?
Well, I use the same Frisbee as the Ultimate Frisbee because you have to buy a collection of discs if you're going to play the Frisbee golf. They're heavier in mass and they're smaller in size.
Yeah.
And that's great. But we would actually go up to different locations like for example, the college could be closed on a weekend, and we go up there and we create holes going around
the
building.
Do it yourself. Okay.
We go, oh, there's a drinking fountain around the corner. Okay, you got to go through that tunnel. And so we would create our own holes and just create our own game. And it's just, I teach that to the kids too. We do frisbee golf and teach them how to do that. So it's,
I would not have guessed this. So this is a good surprise.
Yeah, I thought most people say, oh, it's basketball. Yeah, I love the game of basketball. But for myself, to play and coach Ultimate is just, it's a blast. And like you said, it's an all-day event. Usually we have the tournaments. We used to go to Stanford and play at Stanford or over at Berkeley or down to UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
When I was coaching the college team, it's the best time. It really is. It's just a blast. And everybody's just.
Do you still play?
I haven't played. There used to be a group that played in Newark. When I play, I usually jump in with the high school kids and just kind of jump in and kind of play quarterback. I'm not running around as much.
Yeah.
I'm playing the quarterback because I can make a long throw or, you know, huck it down the field. And that's always great. And then teach the kids how to dive and go horizontal. And it's always great. It's just that they just go, oh, that was great. They just love it. So nice thing is when you videotape it and you show it to them, they're going, oh.
It's slow motion.
Yeah, that's always fun. So, Ultimate. That would be the sport. And
that's a great answer.
Yep.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate you coming on the show. And maybe someday we'll have you back.
Oh, that sounds great. Maybe we'll talk about something else.
Yeah, maybe. Thank you.